This is the wonderful word of life. People leaving Jesus one time, Jesus turned to the disciples and he said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "To whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life." And when we come up here to preach to you, we come up here with all sincerity. We try to serve God with all of the sincerity of our heart. We're tempted, we're tried, we're tossed about just like you are. And we run into all kinds of problems. We have all kinds of things to deal with. And we have to pray, seek the Lord, ask Him for strength so that we can accomplish our purpose in the earth. Jesus was tempted like I am, tried, tested in every way so that he could feel my infirmities and my weaknesses. And that way he's able to secure us as one that can feel our infirmities. Tried in every way, such as you are. And the Bible says concerning you and concerning me that there is no temptation that you undergo. There's not one, but what is common to man. Anything that I've been through with, you've been through it. Anything you've been through with, I've been through it. Anything we've been through with, he's been through it. And anything he went through with, we've been through it. So there is no temptation except that which is common unto man. God has not put any special kind of temptation above that which is common unto man. You go through it, somebody else goes through it. You don't conquer, somebody else does conquer. You don't overcome, somebody else does overcome. So in the day of the judgment, it's very obvious that we all will be there. And we'll have encountered the same things through life. And some will testify of their victory while others testify of their defeat. But the Bible said, "He that overcometh, if he'll hold out to the end," he said, "I'll let him sit down in the throne with me the way that I've overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father." So it's beautiful to know that we can overcome, that God is with us, he's helping us. And everything is set to where we can plow right on through the powers of the enemy if we're willing to put our hands to the plow, not looking back, and stay with it. That's all he asks us to do, is just stay with the thing, and he'll see us right on through. Said, "I'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." So we know that we have this promise from him that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." It is wonderful to know this. Now, the other night we were speaking from chapter 12, I believe it was, and we got kind of into a long thing because we went into Revelation, and perhaps we didn't comment too much as to the immediate subject as to just the word itself. See, when we speak Revelation, it's still the word of God. And if it is the Word of God, then it will solely found itself without error upon the Scriptures in every way. And when we speak, like if I'm speaking Revelation, then this is the way the prophets of old spoke. See, because the Bible said, "And the Spirit of God is to the Holy Ghost." He was back there then, the Spirit of Christ. It came unto the prophets as the word of God, a word of spirit and life. And the Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And they spake by inspiration, and then the scribes wrote," or some of the writers wrote, to preserve this word of inspiration that came to them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the more in our day as to our benefit and the cause of his kingdom, in that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost, lives within us, and we have the gift of the Holy Ghost now. And the Bible said, when you are witnessing before people, and when they take you up before the magistrates of the world, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, for in the selfsame hour it shall be given you what ye shall say, for it shall not be you that speaketh, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. So then, when we're up here, the Bible said it is not the preacher that is speaking. It is God speaking from within his temple. All the world should listen and keep quiet. For he said, "What I say to one, I say unto all." And it is God speaking. So it is the same inspiration as to the Holy Ghost that was in the Old Testament that spoke through the prophets. So when we speak prophetically, when we speak by revelation, Paul said when you come together, have a doctrine, have a tongue, revelation, all these kind of things. Let everything be done decently and in order. And he said, I've come to much revelation, so much that there was given unto me a messenger to buffet me, even Satan, as a thorn in the flesh. And one of his workers, that is, to continually buffet me because of my much revelation. But even though he had come to much revelation, he still declared that I shall still come to revelation and to visions. So then the church should be seeing many visions, and the church should be receiving many revelations. Because Paul was the overseer of the Gentile church. And as the gospel was committed unto Peter to the Jews, he said, the gospel unto the Gentiles was committed unto me, that I should be a light unto the ends of the earth, as to the fulfillment of Christ living and not me. And so then we should be filled with revelation. And of course the question arises, what is revelation? Revelation is the revealed foreknowledge of God. Because God in the beginning was the great light. That means the know-all, everything. Light means understanding. He was the great know-all, the great everything. In whatever there is as pertaining to existence or life or human being or things, it is only God expressing himself as to human form or in the form of human need. So it's just God. If God withdrew, there'd be nothing left. And it stands to reason that they should all be taught of God, as the Bible said, and that God speaks to them through human instrumentality. So here we are as the God family. And God having given grace, we brought it out the other night, how that God's given grace that even reached to the Gentiles that are not Christians, as to cover their sins as for the moment, that he might give them time to convert. But only the elect will find it. Paul preached, and the Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, or as we would say, before of old, ordained unto eternal life, they believed when Paul preached. Said the rest did not, because God, of course, has hid it from the others. So then we see that it is a great, wonderful thing that God has done. So we see this great, marvelous thing that Christ has done. We know then that in the beginning is God. Who is God? The great light. In the beginning is the great light. In the beginning is God. And there is nothing else. There is nothing else but God. That is, before the beginning, only God is there, and there is nothing else. And then with the beginning, there comes forth the act of creation. Because if I say Genesis, I'm saying beginning, because Genesis means beginning. So I say in Genesis, or in the beginning. Well, that is, I say, as I've said to you before, that we are what God calls the beginning. See, there's nothing in the beginning. And Genesis means beginning. So then God, who is before the beginning, he is the one that started the beginning. He is the one that begat and begun. So then when God, the great light, come forth, there was no beginning. There was nothing. Because God is from everlasting to everlasting. He doesn't have a beginning. And so God comes forth in the beginning, or God comes forth to start the beginning. And the beginning, of course, is the act of creation. As to making the trees and making the animals and making the heavens and the sun and the stars and making humanity. And so then in the beginning of the act of God as to the creation. Then we go back, we have a record, and we're thankful that we can go back to a record because we have a record as to the beginning. And then we come all the way down from the beginning, and we travel down through the dispensations of time, and eventually our pilgrimage ends in that we who are children of God as the predestinated eventually are translated into the kingdom of God. And then we're no more in the world. He chooses us out of the world. eventually changes our body to where our body is not even in the world. And they that don't love the Lord, they eventually come to a consummation as to an eternal damnation, and they're cast into the lake of fire. And that's the end of them. So we find the angel standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, hand lifted to heaven, swearing by him that liveth forever and ever, that time should be no more. Right here, he's swearing by him that liveth forever and ever. Whereas God has commanded me, he's commanded you, and he's commanded mankind that ye swear not. He said, don't swear. The reason you shouldn't swear, he said, because you don't have the ability to perform your oath. Something could happen and stop you. He said, so you don't swear at all. But now God swears. That is, God swear by himself concerning the promise to Abraham and the children of light, not being able to swear by any greater in that he was the greatest. He swear by himself, saying, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Make thy seed to be as the sands of the seashore, innumerable as the stars. So we find here somebody in this last part of the Bible as to time no more, and he is swearing by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. So we know that this feller is the act of God. We won't go into that, but we know that that is the act of God. So beyond the beginning we see God, and I say this every once in a while, I bring this back to you that you might search and research, make readjustments in your life as to where you can understand God. If before the beginning was God, then we know that beginning means as to the origin of the act of creation. And God is the origin as to the act of creation. So we look beyond the beginning and all we see is the great light. God, not in a form as a human being. We don't see him like that. We just see him as the great light. That is, the knowledge of the light which is called what's precious. The precious light. The Bible speaks of the light most precious. And we see that great light, and that light fills all of eternity. We don't see any form. We don't see anything. Because all of eternity is filled with God the great light, who cannot be seen with your natural eyes. And the Bible says, and no man has seen God at any time. John 4:24, God's a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. No man, for the Bible said no man can approach unto that light. He can't get near that light. That light is so great that after the millennium of 1,000 years of restoration, that light will break forth as God most precious. And the light is so great that when he breaks forth, the mountains will not have formation anymore. The mountains will lose their formation. The stars will lose their formation. The earth will lose its formation. Every human being will lose their formation except we who are children of light. Everything will dissipate. The Bible said the mountains shall flee away. Even the great ocean shall flee away. And the heavens shall flee away because of this great light most precious. So then we see the end. We say the beginning and then we see the end. I am Alpha and I am Omega, the beginning and the end. So then we see the end, and when the end comes, it is not the end of God. It is the end of the act of creation. Everything has gone back to its originality. Everything has gone back to its originality. He doesn't let this light come as the end until the 1,000 years in this earth, as a regime has been finished. And then we see the end. The great light and everything dissipates. It's gone. Nothing there then but God and that which is light, as to that which emanates from God, not as to an act of creation, but as light, as beings of light. Well, that is to say, in heaven, as in the Spirit, as in the light, we are all lights. We are lights. You remember the angel appeared out on the hillside to the shepherds? We've been there. He appeared. He did not come down with big wings like we picture angels and stand out there before them and say thus and thus and thus, even though angels does take on form. But he did not do that. This great light came upon them. And when Paul was on the way to Damascus, there wasn't an angel or a being that appeared to Paul. But the Bible said this great light shined round about them. Now, a lot of you don't see that light. I have that light shine round about me. And there is with those that love the Lord. I hope you don't mind me just talking to you, explaining a few little things here. See, you that love the Lord, there is with you an angelic being that's called a guardian angel. Everybody has one. And he's with you. He is the light. He is a light. He is a light. He is like the attributes of God, the great Spirit. And he is the light. And he presents himself in that way. Now, the Bible said it's concerning God, it's concerning the Holy Ghost, it's concerning the great light. Not light as you see with your natural eyes. And I say again, it's 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain to record that light. Not as that. But as light. Understanding. This great light, it comes to you many times. Job said, when deep sleep falls upon us and we're laying upon our bed, this great light comes. But see, we're not spiritual as a people. We're not spiritual. Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but you're not. You're bathed in Christ, envy, malice, temper, all lust of the flesh, things of the world. He said, I can't talk to you as spiritual beings like as the prophets. So he says, you just desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby as babes. So then we're not spiritual as a people. In the church, we don't really pray like we should that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation, that we might be spiritual. We're born to the Spirit. We're born to the Spirit. We're not of the second man, the first man, Adam. We pass from that, from death unto life. In Adam all die. So then we are quickening spirits. But because we're so carnal as to our first birth, and this man existeth, he still existeth, he's still in existence. And of course, when I say you're dead to the flesh and you're not in the flesh and you're out of the flesh and you're in heaven, I'm speaking of the mind of God. That in the mind of God, this is the way you are. You're all your finished product. You're not in the world. But as to being alive naturally, your natural man, in this world, you're very much alive. And you still go through all the problems and woes and whatever. I wish we had time to enlarge on that tonight. So then, these angels, they're there. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there. Even Christ, the great light, he's there. And these angels encamp round about them that love the Lord. They are there. They stay there. But do you see them? Do you communicate with them? See, if you don't, you're not spiritual. For the Bible said they are made ministering spirits unto them that are heirs of salvation. If you are an heir of salvation, these are ministering spirits. Someone said, well, I've never seen one. I don't know nothing about that. Well, there's people that have. You're sitting here and you're depressed. You're having a long, hard day. And you're like Jesus. When Jesus was in the wilderness, 40 days without food, weary, tired. And the angels of God came and ministered to him. The evil angels came. And they said, if you be the Son of God, trying to make him doubt his sonship. But then the good angels came, as if to say, it's for sure you're the Son of God. We believe that. See, but that is to say, they said, if you be the Son of God, Satan says, turn this stone into bread. You know you're hungry. And if Jesus had done that, he'd have been the subject of Satan. Satan would have been his master. Cast yourself down, or I'll give you all the world. It's given in my hands to give To whomsoever I will, take it up on a high pinnacle. The Bible said, show him the entire world in a moment's of time. But Jesus never yielded. See, these spirits talk to you all the time. Now, they're not spirits of light. Though they are spirits of light, they're called dark light. But they're spirits of darkness. So then the Bible called them light, but a dark light. If this light within you be dark, how great is that darkness? That is the dimensional depths of Satan, where the Bible said, and some have never known the depths of Satan. So a light, a dark light, that means that they one time were in the knowledge of God. They one time were in the knowledge of God, but they fell into darkness. Now all that they knew is light is in a veil of darkness. See, like reflectors. So then they come to you even as a minister, transforming their minds to minister words of light. And the Bible said they become ministers of light, or that is, they say to you words of light. And Satan, he comes to you, he transforms himself into an angel of light. So that he comes to you, and when he comes to you as an angel of light, just like the other angels of light that minister to you, Satan comes to you as an angel of light, he quotes the scripture, and he'll tell you all about the Word of God, and he'll be just as religious as you are, and he'll reflect the light of God just like you, all because of grace. The blood on the seat of atonement gives them grace, and as I say, they have a chance to dwell in heaven to reflect that light. And we don't have time to go into that to break it down, but many of you understand what I'm saying. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven. As a matter of fact, this little thing that we're going to read right here, read it again, read it the other night, it tells about this. So then these angels are with you. How spiritual should we be? Our conversation should be in heaven. We should walk in the steps of Christ. All that we do should be spiritual. We should be spiritual beings. Being spiritual, the Bible said you're not in the flesh. We should not fulfill the lust of the flesh, nor walk after the things of the flesh, and make no provision to fulfill the desire of the flesh. So then these angels are there, and you may have a long, hard day. And you're sitting here, and all of a sudden, you're depressed, and life isn't worth living. And all of a sudden, something happens to you, and a thought enters your mind. And you take a little courage, and another thought enters your mind, and you take a little courage. And after a while, you begin to feel a little strength. Now, what is that? That's the angels of light ministering to you. They come to minister to you as heirs of salvation, to encourage you, to lift you up, and to inspire you. And after a while, you feel stronger, stronger. Just the same way as when the unclean spirit is gone out of the man, he's sanctified, the house is clean and swept. The unclean spirit cannot find any rest, because the only way they can find rest is in a human body under the blood atonement through the days of grace. So they can't find rest till they come back to the body that they've left, and they can't go in. The reason is because they are an unclean spirit, and an unclean spirit can't live in a clean house. So they can't go in. So this spirit goes back, it gets seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and then they team up and boycott together against you. Then they come and they harass. See, this spirit can't get in because this cleanliness repels him. Just like the light repels darkness, even though the spirit of light isn't in there, the spirit of light is sanctified by the faith of light. That is the faith of Christ. And Satan can't get in there. Everything is shiny. Everything is nice and clean. So he can't get in. He gets seven other spirits. And they come back. And maybe all you had was just a spirit of a lion. Maybe that's all you had that was driven out. Like Mary Magdalene had seven devils. But then that spirit of a lion can't get back in. So when he gets the seven other spirits, he comes back and maybe it's brought a spirit of drinking with the spirit of lying, and maybe a spirit of cursing, and maybe a spirit of hatred, and a spirit of lust, and a spirit of covetousness, and all of them boycotts together. And this one will hit you from this side like five or six men ganging up on you, and you turn your head and another one will hit you here, and you shake off the thing about lying and something else hits you here, and you're tempted with lust, and you're tempted with lying, and you're tempted with gossip, and you're tempted with with a gluttonous spirit of eating or over drinking or whatever kind of spirit it might be, a lust for money or desire for money or greed for money, whatever it is, and it's just hammering on you all the time, one right after another. Could be a spirit of insanity. Could be any kind of spirit. And finally, they just wear you down. You're wore down because you don't have the Holy Ghost in there. And when they wear you down, they just together like a flock of blackbirds just inside of you just like that and contaminating. Everything is misconstrued and messed up. And then they dwell there in the Bible to the last state of that man is worse than the first. So then the spirits of light minister to you the same way. They do not enter into you as to take up their dwelling like the unclean spirits would in that way, but they have access to your life and to your soul to go in and out, to brighten your life. But inwardly you are filled with the Holy Ghost, which is the light, and that spirit occupies your soul. That's why I said what I did. I don't understand a man teaching demons in the soul where the Holy Ghost is. I just don't understand those kind of things. So then we are free from death and we're free from sin when that light goes in after that you're sanctified. But there's been many, many people, maybe millions of people, that have come to this light because the blood is on the seat of atonement. And they have a chance to come in. Then the light shines on them and their knowledge comes open. And they know they need salvation. And they see how dirty and wretched and low down they are. And then when they come into this thing, they don't receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said the sow gets washed. That is, there comes a sanctification. The sow gets washed in that the rain is on the outside, down upon the just and the unjust. So they get washed. But the old sow, just as quick as the light goes out, as we say, Jesus called those people swines and dogs. She goes back to her wallowing in the mire. She goes back to her old worldly ways for lust of the flesh. And worldly ways are called the mire to God. They go back to their old practices of wallowing in the mire. And the dog comes and the dog, he gets into the light. And the understanding comes. That is to say, they know there is an enlightenment as to what is right and what is wrong. But the dog goes right back to his vomit. He goes right back to lapping his vomit. He leaves the light of God. He goes right back to lapping his vomit. Take the dog, wash him, brush his teeth like some people do. Feed him in the best kind of food, you know, to where he ain't slobbered all around. Take him down to the dog show, win your prize, and turn him loose. He'll go right back to eating dung and go right back to gnawing on the bone. And he'll go right back to vomiting and lapping it. Because he has a dog nature. He's not going to live clean. Unclean spirits, but them that are children of God, that are the predestinated, as Paul said, that are ordained unto life, when the gospel is preached, they light up like a bulb. Somebody said the other night, the message you preached lit me up like a light. So they light up like a bulb, and when they do, they accept what they hear, and God sanctifies them, and then the Holy Spirit enters right into them, and demons can never enter into them after that. Demons can never touch them after that. But the things that I said about the dog and the swine, this sanctification, this cleansing, this rain on the unjust, this is why you've got so many hypocrites in the world, so many religious bodies in the world, so many parasites, so many of what the Bible calls twofold more the child of hell than before. See, you make a hypocrite. He's twofold more the child of hell. Now, so then, this is why you have all those people. It is because that the unclean spirits go back in after they've been cast out. And then these people, it may be even be a religious devil that went in there with them. And some of them continue to be religious, go to church, stay right around the saints of God, and like a pig wallowing in the mire and shaking himself, they shake every time they get a chance, they shake stuff all over everybody else. Always complaining, finding fault against the preacher, always putting him down. Those devils in his mind or her mind always puts the preacher down, always puts the congregation down, always says something about the righteous. Well, the Bible said, as the bondchild of the day of Abraham, it always persecuted the free child. the God child, the child that is in the mind of Christ that's free from the bondage of the beggarly elements of this world. Whereas the bond child is in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world through his thinking. And the bond child always persecutes the free child. So a lot of religious people stay in there, and the Bible said if you spare any of them, they'll be pricks in your side. Then everything you go to do, they'll connive and come up with something to cross it up and maneuver until they cause you to go around the wrong way and do the wrong thing. Always got objections, always crossing you up, always got their own mind, always got another plan. Can't ever blend in with the brotherhood or with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible said rebuke them sharply. And then on the other hand, you have those that are there that are so cunning that if you pluck one of them up, you get the wheat. Because some people have fastened themselves to these tares, and their roots are interwoven. And if you say something against that, like you say something against the Baptist, you say something against the Methodist, they're gone. Say, bless God, I don't believe in speaking against any church. The words of a fool. The words of a fool. I don't believe in speaking against any church. You know, I speak against quite a number of churches. As a matter of fact, one of them I love to speak against just as much as I can, and that's the one they call the Satanic Church. So any church outside of God's church is a church of the devil. So you thought I was just talking about one Satanic Church, didn't you? That caught you off guard. But that's the way it is. See, these Satanic churches, and Bible said doctrines of devils, when they don't follow the Word of God and they start teaching things like demons in the soul, when the Holy Ghost is in there, that's a devil teaching. That's not a God teaching. See, and that thing would wreck you. So then we know that God has done a wonderful thing for the saints of God. Because, let me say this to you again. I read a magazine, you remember me telling you about it. Man, the woman that was possessed, Christian, had God, had the Holy Ghost, but she was possessed with the devil. That ain't right. That ain't right. I said it wasn't right, and the same man finally showed up as a drunkard, the preacher that put it out. That ain't right. Big figure. Published in the magazine. I said, it ain't right. See, you cannot be possessed and have the Holy Ghost. You can't do that. Tell me something, brother and sister in Christ. What devil is able to hold you when the Holy Ghost has got you? What devil is more powerful than the Holy Ghost? See, doesn't the Bible say that you can't spoil the goods of a strong man? You can't enter into his house and spoil his goods unless you're able to bind the strong man? Now, you know the devil can't bind the Holy Ghost, but you know that the Holy Ghost can bind the devil. And when the Holy Ghost enters into this little house of clay and he binds the devil, that's the end of him. He don't do nothing. So then, possession means ownership. And good water and bad water don't come forth from the same fountain. God don't own you and the devil own you at the same time. There is no such thing. Now you can be oppressed of the devil. Because if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And the devil can harass your mind and do many things contrary to godliness. And cause you to have a problem. I mean a real problem like you never dreamed of. I've had some of these problems. Harass you and do all kinds of things. But always remember one thing, it doesn't matter. He that is within you, that will never leave you nor forsake you, is greater than he that is in the world. Not greater than he that is with him that is within you. You understand what I'm saying? He that is in the world, the devil, the prince of this world, Christ within you. It doesn't say greater is Christ in your soul than the demon that's in their soul with Christ. There is no such thing. See, so there's no possession. You belong to God. I have people that come here at Bethlehem. I didn't intend to just talk to you, but I have people that come here to Bethlehem. And these people, some of these people that come here are possessed of the devil. And some of them are religious parasites. And some of them have all kinds of spirits. Maybe one person, a man or woman, have numbers of spirits. And they'll come and sit in my audience, and I know it, and I pick it up. And I know they're there. And I meet them. Just like Judas, he walked with Jesus. Jesus knew he was a devil. He was a devil. But nevertheless, he walked with them. See, so devils are among you. Just like angels of light are among you. And this is why you get so discouraged. Today you feel like you're on the top of the world, cloud nine, as the world said. And you could just do anything. And before the day is over, you'll feel so defeated, so cast down. Maybe just because of a little bodily affliction. Whereas the Bible said the afflictions of the righteous are many. Because of your infirmities that has really made you stronger than ever in your whole life. Paul said, rejoicing in his infirmities, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Are discouraging you by some old long-tongued gossiper that's come over and told you something bad somebody said about you. Or they belittled you, or they put you down because you didn't measure up to their measurements as to your daily activities or whatever it might be. Whatever it is, you know. And then you feel all cast down. All melancholy. See, because of listening to devils. You know why you did that? The Bible said your strength was small. God commanded you to be full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Spirit like they were in the early church. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still not be full of the Spirit. Having the baptism. See, but you must stay every day of your life before God or night or whenever to feel and refill yourself with the virtues of God. See, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is inside of you in your spirit. But to be full of the Spirit is to allow that Holy Ghost to go throughout your spirit into your bodily members, to sanctify your members, and repent and come to God and conform to God in a perfectness of your body's bodily surrender. That's what you mean in the Scripture, or what's meant when I say go on to perfection. As in the Scriptures, go on to perfection. The bodily surrender as to conformity. See, so to be full of the Holy Ghost is where the prophesying comes in. It's where the revelation comes in. It's where divine deliverance comes in. Opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, making the lame to walk. It is the virtue that is the Holy Ghost in your body, being filled with the Holy Ghost. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the power and demonstration of God that comes through your bodily members. Otherwise, it's on the inside of you. It is cooped up and cupped up to where you can't do a thing. The Holy Ghost can't do nothing until you surrender the outer man. All right, so then we see that speaking of devils and speaking of demons and the infilling of the Spirit as to what and how and who owns and who possesses is altogether different from the way that one might think. These spirits of light, they're here tonight. They're right here in this church. When I get a revelation, that is light. That is understanding. I am worshiping God, or I'm praying, or if I get a vision, and all of a sudden something begins to speak to my understanding, begins to speak to me, that's light. That's an angel of light that's ministering to me. Or the Holy Ghost of light that is ministering to me. Though we that are born of the light have this interlight as to minister to us fully, and these others are just inspirational lights to us. Whereas before the coming of Jesus, these angels were actually there and the only means of them getting the things that they got. So then we have Christ's Spirit, which is the angel of light, the major, all in all, angel of light. God the great light, Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light, which means God the all knowledge, then Jesus alone dwells in the midst of this ominous science. He dwells in the midst of it. All knowledge, He's there. See, He dwells in the midst of this. He knows all things. All things that my Father knows hath made known unto me. And we, as the church, all things that He knew, He hath made known unto us. The only difference is He's a headship. And from the head comes the entirety into you and I, comes us to a membership thing of a divisional measure. So then whatever your revelation is, your knowledge, whatever your light, your understanding is, that is, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. See, whatever it is, that is your membership of the body of the Lord Jesus. That is your measure as to your understanding. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I've not been in the gospel but 3 years. Then whatever you've learned in that 3 years, that's how old you are in Christ. See, you are either a little infant as just to be being born into the kingdom, or you are one that has grown some, or one that has grown more. But whatever you've grown into is your understanding. That's what you are in the Spirit. That's how big you are, how great you are, how mighty you are. Like the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation, and the Bible says that there came a great and mighty angel. And the Bible said this angel, when this angel came down, that he lightened the entire earth. He lightened the entire earth. All of the earth was lightened. Now that's some more understanding. That's some more knowledge. That's some more move of God right there. When a light like that comes into the earth, that all men are lightened by that great, wonderful move of God. That is something right there. But I'm just saying these things to you as a father in the gospel, because some of you are my children. Then, we that are in the church, why aren't we more spiritual? Why aren't we more spiritual? Somebody said, well, I don't see nothing. That's the reason I ain't spiritual. I'm waiting for them things. You're so carnal that you're really abiding in death. People that are waiting to see things, even if you was waiting to see miracles, the Bible said you'd be an adulterous generation. But the Bible said an adulterous generation seeketh after signs. We're not those that are looking for signs. We're those that believe to see. Not as Thomas to see to believe. We believe to see. Like we said the other day when that little girl was healed of the platelet disease. And when we got the word that that little boy that had that horrible disease that the doctors give up was healed, or the many other wonderful things as to the miraculous things that God does every day through the lives of them that believe. See, so you are very carnal and you're abiding in death. For to be carnally minded is to be Adam-like. And to be an Adam all die. That mind comes from Adam. But you're born again and you're in the spirit. You're not in the flesh. So then we're supposed to be of the great light of God, of the great knowledge of God, of the great visions of God, of the great revelations of God, the healings of God, the prophetical utterance of the prophecies of God. Whatever these things are that are the gifts of the Spirit, they're in the church. No matter what you say, they are in the church. And they should be working in the members of the body. You might say, well, Brother Pike, why doesn't these things work in me? Because you don't pray and you don't fast and you don't give yourself to God and you don't think spiritually and you don't meditate in His laws day and night. You don't live in seclusion as to study the Word of God. You're not spiritual. You don't make yourself spiritual. Paul said, I would they were spiritual. See, you have too much time to eat, drink, talk, ride, pretty your face or your body or to get what you want to or to go where you want to be what you want to, and you just don't have any time for God. You've got, in our day, the church has got careers. They got to be some kind of celebrity. They don't want to get away in a cave. They don't want to get away in a back room. They don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. They don't want to be a celebrity. They want to have a title. They want to be on television. They want to be on the radio. They want somebody to see them. See, and you can never be used as a member of the body of Christ like that. Never. You'll always be a babe. Even if you are the body of Christ as a member. Letting those things draw your attention. The Bible said, even if you're saved, you're saved as if a fire. All of your works burn. That is, all of your opportunities gone as to what you could have done. Because the thing that you did was just plain be carnal. And of course, to be carnal minded is death. So then if your spirit escapes as to faith, in that you're weak and you go through these things, all of your works would be burned. And the Bible said, you yourself being saved would be as if a fire. Like Israel will be saved, but they have to go through the fire. So I'll make Israel pass through the fire. One fiery trial right after another. One chastisement right after another. One repentance right after another. Paul said, laying the foundation of repentance over and over and over. Always begging God, saying, Lord, you know I love you. And Lord, you know I went and done this again, Lord. And I told you I wouldn't do it. And I went and done it again, God. And I know I'm going to go do it again, God. And I'm going to do it again, God. And I'm going to do it again, God. See, knowing all these things, and you go right back out there to that old mess, and don't ever make any real effort as self-denial to leave them things alone, and feel melancholy. Feel sorry for yourself and say, God, forgive me. I cry, cry, cry. God, forgive me. Like Esau cried, cried with bitter tears, but he found no place of repentance. See, so you go back out there. That's a dog to his vomit. or dwelling in the mire of the south. But there are people that go back out there, that are pulled back out there, that stagger and stumble, that really have God. But they just can't get their bearings. They can't get a hold of themselves. And all they ever do is repent and weep and repent and weep and repent and weep. And they never really come to perfection. And the Bible said, never bring any fruit to perfection. So then, one sickness right after another, one heartache right after another, one pain and misery right after another. No telling what it is. Sometimes in the insane asylum and out, and just the devil just abuses you, just mistreats you and does you all kind of ways. All kind of ways. All because you do not apply yourself. All right, we could go on all night long on that one thing there as to explain the diversity as to what is to be pitied and considered and what is not, as to what is typically shown in the earth, as to those causes and things. Well, we are not going to do that. I just want to bring out a thought or two here to you. So, in chapter 12, he says, "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to vision and revelations of the Lord." Then he goes on to say how he knew the man that was caught up into heaven, saw things it was not permissible for man to utter. So then we see here that as to a man uttering certain things, he can't do it. That's why the Bible said they shall all be taught of God. Only God can utter forth certain things. These are heavenly treasures in earthen vessels. Like Brother Branham said one time, he held up a sermon, and some of them want to know why he wouldn't turn it loose, which he did sometime. And he said, "I won't turn it loose for this reason." He said, "Sometimes I say something, and I don't mean to say it." Said, "Sometimes the anointing has given me things that I'm not to say. And sometimes something will slip out through my carelessness." And he said, "Then I hold back the tape." And he said, "Now, like this morning," and he referred to a certain tape he'd preached that morning, held up the tape. They couldn't understand. He said, in that morning service, he had made the statement, said, "I don't believe in altars," which I don't either. You know, I've many times I preached the same thing. I didn't know he had that feeling about it, but I said a lot of times coming to the altar, that's not really an altar. We do that because we invite people that don't know anything except natural things, and they look for a natural altar. And in that sense, I believe in the altar, we should have it, and you should come. But as far as the altar, the Bible said we have better altars than those of the beast. And we brought out a message on that as to the revelation of what that means. See, and we have an altar where we meet with God in our heart, or wherever you're at, in a field, whatever. I've won people to God driving along in my car, pick them up on the road. See, so he knew that people wouldn't understand that. And he didn't have a chance to explain it. To hold up things. Ministers say many things that people don't understand. But I have things that God has put into my heart. Things perhaps that will never be shared with you nor anyone. But the thing is, we have opportunity to have this light and to have these lights to minister to us. But we're going to have to be spiritual, or we're not going to recognize these angels when they come around. See, a lot of you are not even spiritual enough to know that when the minister's up here, that that's not him, that that's God that came into the sanctuary. And that God is standing there speaking to you. And all of them shall be taught of God, even to the little child. For the Bible said, "Out of the mouth of suckling, God hath perfected praise." You don't even know that God come. You didn't know that God come. You didn't know when God was there. You didn't even know when God left. When you left, you didn't know that God had been there at all. Like Jesus said to the Jews, you didn't know that God come to you. And you didn't know the day of your visitation. And you don't know, even now, that your houses, your body, that is left to you as a desolation until ye shall say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So see, you don't know. And by the same means, you don't know about those angels. You don't know about those ministering lights. What if Gabriel came down? What if Michael came down? What if Satan came down? What if Beelzebub came down? Or what if the Holy Ghost came down as the Christ Spirit? Would you know? Would you recognize? Could you discern? Could you tell the difference? A lot of you, you know, it's sad to say that you could not tell the difference. So close that only the elect can tell the difference. So you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. Satan come and quoted those things to Jesus. If he had not really been the Word, as you would say to you and I, as being the Word made flesh, as to a member of His body, to know the Word, you couldn't tell the difference because He quoted it verbatim right down the line. You couldn't have said, that's not the Word, because it was the Word. An angel of light. It was right down the line, the Word. Ministers preach. You can't say it's not the Word. For the Bible said, by the transforming of their mind, that is, Paul said, by the renewing of your mind, transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the Bible said they have changed themselves, or transformed themselves into a minister of the Word. They preach the Word. They get up and preach the Word. But they also have changed the Word of God into a lie. That is the way it was quoted. That Jesus was to kill and destroy when it was supposed to be words of life and truth. So they change it. I'm not going to try to preach to you. I'm just got into a talking stream here, talking to you and saying things. I was going to explain a few things and then get into a few heavenly things. But maybe this is what the Lord wanted. Maybe that's why He let me stop down there at the printing room and look. See that book on demons. How do you know what a demon is? Now see, we've been talking about angels, fallen angels, angels of darkness. But now, what is a demon? Well, you know and I know they're one and the same thing. They're fallen angels. But the name demon and these other things, they have significance as to what kind of angel. Just like Satan or Beelzebub, Michael or Gabriel. Michael, a messenger, a warrior, Gabriel, a messenger. All right, let's stand together. Some of you are so warm that you can't get hot. And you're not cold either. All right, but some of you are listening very attentively and are trying to grow and understand. Some of you are reverently, patiently waiting until I let you go home. So you won't be uncomfortable. And I say it has to be that way. God ordained that it be that way. Because if you are lukewarm, it means you're religious. You got in the rain, but you really didn't get nothing from God. And you that come will go away just as empty. You'll go away just as empty as you came. Because it's not meant for you to have it. The elect receives it, and the rest are blinded. The Bible said that God blinds the rest so they can't get it. All they can do is in their intellectual mind reflect it. They do reflect it. They do hear a sound. It's an uncertain sound because it'll never be certain to them as to them understanding because the Bible says the wicked shall not understand. So that makes it uncertain. They hear it just like everybody. They hear it with their natural ear. But only the heart as of the virgin, as Mary that conceives of that word. Only the heart of the pure virgin heart that belongs to Christ will conceive of that word and it be turned into revelation or spirit and life. The others will be as the bastard child. Twins are born as the bastard child. They will just get an intellectual indoctrination just like this man that's trying to teach that the spirit of God and demons can be in the heart at one time. It's obvious that he's got himself a television reputation, got himself a big name, and he's drawing millions of dollars, and he's fabulous and famous, and on his way to hell, and the blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch. So the darkness has blinded their eyes. The Bible said, even the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, has blinded their eyes that they should not see, and like bats in the night, the blind lead the blind. But they do preach the word. Paul said, whether for contention or otherwise, here and I rejoice, for the word is still preached. Whatever their intentions are, their motives are wrong. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Catholic, Church of Science, all kinds of churches. Nevertheless, the Bible said, if they are not in the Word as to the Spirit of life, they are doctrines of devils. And hundreds and millions of people will flow into them. Can they do that in a Pentecostal church? Sure. Can they do that in a Baptist church? Sure. Catholic Church, wherever I've been in numbers of them, I've seen it. But the blind is leading the blind, and they all. Somebody said, well, some good folks in there among them. The Bible said, and they all fall into the ditch. There's no such thing as good folks sitting listening to a man that's blind as being possessed of the devil. They won't do it. See, darkness and light can't dwell together, and they don't walk together. Two have to be agreed to walk together. It might be that there are some good ones in there, but it don't take them long to get out. And it's the same way in a good church. When you preach the word and you come right down the line, you might have had a good congregation that night. But the wicked cannot sit in the congregation of the righteous. And after a while, it'll narrow down as it was when they left Jesus. And after a while, those that came come once or twice and they're gone. You won't see them anymore. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? So herein, brethren, you see your calling, that you're called as children of light, and that you have angels all around you. And this is a great spiritual journey, a great spiritual episode of life. And though you be very carnal as to some people, it's not because carnality is of the church, nor of the children of God, nor of God. It's just that you're blind and don't see. It's just that you're not spiritual, you're still a babe in Christ. So in that, you don't see this wonderful workings of the glorious things that God is doing in heaven. And I confess before you, I see this all the time, day and night, all the time. Maybe now, a little while later, or today or tomorrow, He's always moving, because heaven is a wonderful place of activity, full of activity. It's not dead and draggy like the earth is with their little old car races screaming and hollering like a bunch of frogs, jumping and croaking, you know. Their ball games screaming and running around like a bunch of silly children. Not in heaven. They do things worthwhile. All of that's childish and foolish. And Paul said, are children of the world that do those things. And when I was a child, he said, I speak as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. Running after money and houses and homes, fame and popularity, prestige, desire and the preeminence. All those things are foolish. And Paul said that things that you possess is to greatness. Cars and houses, he said, it's nothing but beggarly elements of the earth. All go back to the dust, and he said, it's not to be compared to the heavenly treasures that we have in these earthen vessels that's to be revealed in us at the coming of the Lord as the sonship, the bright light, most precious. As to when He appears, we shall be like Him, but we shall see Him as He is, and we will be changed into His glorious image. So the light most precious as the heavenly treasure, you have it within your earthen vessels, and it's all shut up. It's up to you to utilize this wonderful thing for God. Let's sing a little chorus together. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. All over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus, keeping me alive. Well, I'm saved and sanctified, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Oh, I'm saved and sanctified, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus, you're keeping. Can you sing that with me? Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Saved and sanctified, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus, He's keeping me. Sing it one more time with me. Well, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. All over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus, He's keeping. One more time. So we're saved and sanctified, and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. For I'm saved and sanctified,
and it's keeping me alive. Jesus, one more time. Saved and sanctified, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Saved and sanctified, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Let's give him another hand before we close. Let's just close our eyes together. Remember the meeting and pray some for it. You know, a lot of people, they don't feel like prayer does much good, and they don't make that much effort to pray. And their lives, a lot of times, are just kind of void and empty, and they don't experience real thrilling experiences with God. But, you know, the Bible said, pray in secret that God might reward you openly. And you go and you pray, and maybe you don't pay much attention to it, but folks, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And when you pray, there's things happen. The Bible says, pray in secret, that your Father which seeth in secret may reward you openly. So then people may see your good works, the Bible says, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So then pray. Take a little time and pray. The songwriter said, have you prayed, stayed on your knees till the light broke through? Pray. Just pray until you get satisfied. At least pray some. We're to pray always, even while we're standing and walking, to meditation. We're to pray. But anyway, pray. And pray for me. Pray God will bless me. God will help me. God will be with me. I appreciate all that you do. I appreciate all the efforts. I really do from my heart. And I pray for you, folks. I really pray for you. I pray God restore everything to you 100 times over. And give you health and happiness and bless your little children. And give you joy and peace that leads you. The Bible said I would. That my people would do the things that I say. That it might be well with them and their children all the days of their life. And if you would see long life and good days, refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Walk upright before God. So pray. And you'll be surprised at the different things that will happen in your life. How much more happiness you'll have. Much more He'll bless you financially. Physically, you'll be greater and mightier in health. And everything, it'll just work. The Bible said all things will work together for good them that love the Lord. So pray a little bit and watch your whole life change. And when you don't have anything to pray about, pray for me. Pray for my wife. Pray for my family. Pray for the church. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. All right. I'm going to ask Brother Mac Duke to come down here and dismiss us. As Mac comes to pray with us, let's just remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. How beautiful. I used to sing that song when I was out in the world. As a little song says, remember me. And I used to sing that song. I'd strum on my guitar and I'd sing, remember me when the candle lights are low. Remember me. And then I'd sing it. It would go on to say, it's so sweet to be remembered. It's so sweet to be remembered. And you know, that's what we need to do, is remember one another. Someone at home, perhaps, hasn't had anybody to come visit with them to help them, to encourage them. They don't know that you're somewhere on your knees and you remembered them. And how sweet it is in the sight of God. Maybe a mother, maybe a father, wife, discouraged, home broken up. Maybe a child that can't get mother and daddy to understand. So sweet to be remembered. What if God had not remembered me and you? Isn't it sweet to know that He remembered us? The man on the cross said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he did. All right, Brother Mac's coming.